everyone, and welcome to episode number 31 of Smart Wrestling Fan After Dark, the After Dark portion of the thing that we do. What's it called? Show.
It's a portion of
it's
a show.
Not. It's its own show, but yeah. It's the portion of the work that we do, the amount of podcasting that we do, and it's called Smart Wrestling Fan After Dark, part of SmartWrestlingFan.com, the series.
Okay.
It's not a real thing.
Based on the book?
Based on the novel Push by Sunflower.
Yes.
yes, it is Sunflower. Don't argue with me. It's not. I'm Joe Negron, along with Executive Moonbeam, Amy.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm a little wrestled out.
I'm not. There's so much wrestling. More to watch.
I know.
It's a long weekend of wrestling.
I know. It's still a ton left. But I'm... All it takes is one night of wrestling, two nights of wrestling, and then I'm done.
Yeah. Well, we have three this weekend. So.
I know.
And then, well, we really have four because we have Raw, too. So Raw, Survivor Series.
SmackDown's the next day.
Takeover. Wow, it's five in a row.
Five nights in a row.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, this one, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Let's talk about this one. Because really, I was going to say we should do some news first and stuff, but there's not really any news to talk about because we're still on the same big wrestling weekend. Mm-hmm. Of the three big events, the what are they called again? The Wrestle War? No, World Tag League.
Okay, there you go.
And then Takeover, and then Survivor Series, and as you mentioned, and then Raw, and then SmackDown.
Whee! And then NXT,
and then 205 Live, and then NXT, and then you know whatever else. So it just. It doesn't seem to end.
And then whatever Big Wheel chooses for us on Monday.
Then the Big Wheel, then all the other New Japan shows that happen in between.
So if we were measuring this in terms of weight.
Yeah.
This would be a fuck ton of wrestling.
It's a lot of, wrestling.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to cover it here, but we want people to get in on the conversation. We haven't mentioned that in a while, so how do they get in on it?
Tweet us using the, or well, find us first, SWF Podcast. And then tweet us using the hashtag SWF After Dark, and we'll read those tweets on this show.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just talk with us on Twitter. We talk back.
Yeah, usually. So that's what you do right there. You do that stuff, and then we discuss it. But I really enjoyed Takeover, so I'm just – I know normally we talk a bunch about news and what's going on, but what's going on is Takeover. So I want to talk about it right now. So should we play the music?
Mm-hmm.
I got to find it because I was just going to play the mystery music. But no, I remembered we had real NXT music. Okay. Watch. Hold your ears. Here we go. NXT TakeOver. War Games, Houston. The Hold Your Ears was for like those two people out there that were like, oh my God, NXT music was so loud and it scared me.
Yeah, I can
see. If it was only one person, I would have mentioned, but two people said that. So, sorry, we surprise you with the music sometimes. I think you would know.
I think they would know that it comes before the segment every time.
We can just stop playing music, but then Ziggy Z would be unemployed or something.
Yeah, we don't want him out of a job.
Wait, is he employed? I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, he's employed if we employ air quotes.
Oh, right. NXT, but there's a quick half an hour pre-show before this, and that is that not much. So I'm just going to talk about it for like a minute.
I'm sick of these half an hour pre-shows. I want my pre-shows to be four times longer than that. I want a 2 hour pre-show or I want nothing at all.
Yeah. Oh my God. Big four pay-per-views. I'll always get those hot 2 or 3 hour pre-shows. But the crowd here is chanting, let's go Cena. Cena sucks. So that's a great indication that they're not at the right place. Booker says, oh my God. So Booker T's on the panel for some reason at an NXT show. He doesn't know anything about NXT. Here's what he says, though. They're selling Survivor Series.
Right.
And he says, we are definitely going to see a traditional 5-on-5 tournament here tonight.
Most definitely. Okay.
First of all, what is a 5-on-5 tournament? Second of all, I don't think that's tonight. I don't know what he's talking about.
I
think he means just the Survivor Series men's match.
And I can almost guarantee you he didn't see it.
No.
Because he didn't stick around.
No. No. No, I know Booker T's going to be at Survivor Series. I'm talking about...
Oh, yeah.
Survivor Series, not TakeOver.
I'm so confused.
Yeah. But I'm saying he didn't... What is a 5-on-5 tournament? I don't know. It's not anything. And that's it. Earlier today, Andrade and Drew are walking because they always show, for some reason, the NXT people coming in with their bags. And then Peyton Royce and Billy Kay get interviewed and they say stuff about how they're going to... Nobody else could win this match because they're not iconic.
Right.
And then outside, there's a woman that says nothing over and over and over again. There's something war games, something, something war games, the war games, something, something takeover war games. I don't know what she said.
Right.
And then they show the rules for war games and it's basically a novel.
It is. It has to have its own graphic.
It's not good. It's not a good situation. And then Booker T's talking about getting along and something about the war games match itself. And he says, I don't believe in the buddy system. But Harlem Heat, remember when you were, what? Anyway, that's enough about the who cares about the pre-show? Because now it's time for TakeOver War Games live from Houston, Texas. And boy, oh boy, we always come out of these takeovers. And it seems like I say this like every day, every other day, every other day. We always look at these, and even when it's a weak-looking card, on paper, when we're done with it, we're like, wow, that was really good. And this one didn't even look weak on paper. It just looked like, you know, it looked good.
Yeah.
But I thought the show was just unbelievably good.
I thought it was better than any of the other takeovers I've seen or can remember.
It was pretty good. So we have Mauro, Ranallo, Nigel McGuinness, and Percy on commentary. And Percy says really dumb stuff, like he always does.
That's what he's there for.
He's really just... Did he need to be here tonight?
Out of fairness, yes.
Ugh.
Fairness to him, not fairness to the fans.
Right, yeah. So, okay, the opening match is the one that was made like at the last minute on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Cassius Ohno versus Lars Sullivan. Now, if you're not following NXT and you know who Lars is, he was the one that was Miley Cyrus or whatever, Dylan Miley.
Right.
And he would always tag up with jobbers, and then he would get, their team would get beat by established teams in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would go in the ring and he would beat up his partner after they got beat. So the fact that some people are saying that Lars Sullivan is undefeated is a little weird because he lost most of his matches.
But that was...
Now, he didn't get pinned, but that's not how undefeated works.
Lars Sullivan when he was in those matches, in or was he Dylan Miley?
I think some of them he was. Most of them he was Miley, though. So remember, this match is happening, but this is TakeOver War Games. And the War Games part of it means that there are two rings set up. So this is weird, and it's really weird looking. If you remember watching old War Games before they would bring the cage down, for the regular matches, it's strange because there's two rings there, and we're just not used to that anymore. So to see that in an NXT setup.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's just strange. Okay, we never figured out what this was. It sounds like somebody is playing Kaboom, like for Atari 2600. Here's what it sounds like in the background for some reason, below the audio from the commentators, below the audio from the ring and the fans, you hear. And it goes on for a good hour, maybe
half an hour. Was it Hornswoggle trying to use Morse code to get
it could be
saved?
It could have been that. It's weird. It eventually does go away.
Yeah.
After lots of people tweet WWE and say, hey, the audio is really bad. But it's strange. And here's my question. If it was like an audio feedback thing or a problem with the recording, even though they turned it off within half an hour or whatever of TakeOver, on next week's NXT taping, which was taped before this, which we call FakeOver.
Oh, God, is it going to be?
It's going to be throughout the show.
Oh,
because there's at least two matches that they tape for that.
Huh.
How do you clean that up? How do you get rid of that?
They can fix it in post. The comments. That's something I always hear.
Fix it in post implies, like, you could, okay, if it's isolated audio and it's just on the commentary side of things, they might be able to fix it. But they'd have to redo all the commentary.
Right.
If it's part of just the regular audio of the arena, there's no way to fix that in post.
They can fix it in post.
Okay, only if they do sweetened crowd sounds and have the wrestlers scream and yell and like redub all the audio. Is that possible?
They can fix it in post.
They could. Yeah, I don't know if they will. But this is a decent, short, hard-hitting match. You know, it's these two guys, just beating each other up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably the worst match of the night in a five good match card of five matches. So
right, and there's nothing wrong with the match.
No, it's fine. It's just, it's a brawl. These two beat the crap out of each other with kicks and punches, and then the freak accident, which kind of looks like a Uranage, but not really. Lars wins. But how long before he's just Lars? Because I'm thought surprised before,
he's not now.
Right, I thought before they'd pick Sullivan, but now I bet they'll pick Lars. Like, Lars!
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
You know? That sounds more threatening.
Yeah, I think it does.
But I just think of Futurama, and I just can't get into
Me
it.
Me too.
Okay, just checking. We see it's the UK guys in the crowd. Look, it's guys from the UK. What are they called? The UK tournament. They're here. So if they're in the crowd, that means they're in Houston. Why is there no Cruiserweights versus UK guys match thing at TakeOver? At Survivor Series. Why didn't they do it?
I do not know.
They have to fill that card. If there's going to be a two-hour kickoff and a four-hour Survivor Series, that's a six-hour show.
They'll throw some crap.
Which we had previously thought was a five-hour show, but it's six. Yeah, I guess, but that's just strange.
Yeah.
No, they already announced filler matches. Like, they announced, Matt Hardy against Elias. But I'm just saying, why? I don't know. The Cruiserweights get one match, and it's on the kickoff.
Right.
Just cancel that show already. And I feel bad for saying it, but no. I'm done with it.
No.
I'm done with it completely. Backstage, the Undisputed Era. That's Adam Cole, Bay Bay's kids, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. They strategize, and then William Regal comes in to talk to them about the cage match. I don't know what he's saying. I don't want any of this or any of this. None of this. Especially none of these. Okay, here we go. Could this have been... I mean, no. I was going to say match of the night, but there were so many good matches. It's like a four-way tie.
How about story of the night?
Story of the night was probably this match. Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream. Now, the story has been that Black will not recognize Velveteen Dream. He won't look at him. And so Velveteen Dream wants attention, and he says, say my name. And Black is like, no, I'm not gonna do it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't respect Velveteen Dream.
Right.
He just thinks he's out there for attention.
Right.
It's all you are is just an attention seeker. No. Stay away from me. But wait till we get to this match. Oh my God. So, okay. Velveteen Dream takes off his whatever he's wearing, and he has chaps he's wearing, and he has Rick Rude tights on underneath. It is airbrushed, his face on one side and Black's face on the other side.
So amazing.
Wow. And then they do this spot where, you know how Black sits in the ring and meditates?
Uh-huh.
And then Velveteen Dream mocks him and he sits in the ring and meditates?
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd goes nuts for that? So Aleister Black then imitates Velveteen Dream and does like the snake thing, like the gold dust, where he crawls up to you and like tries to almost kiss you, like getting right in your face.
Right.
And the crowd loves that too.
This is great.
This is really good back and forth. And then instead of saying, ask him, Velveteen Dream is yelling to the ref, ask him my name.
That's the best part.
It's really good.
That was really great.
Yeah. So it's another hard-hitting match, but man, does it have some surprises in it. Dream's been doing that rolling Death Valley Driver thing,
mm-hmm.
and somehow Aleister Black kicks out of that. Then Velveteen Dream does this weird, awesome DDT driver thing where he spikes you on your head. Unfortunately, it's dangerously close to what CN's doing as a finisher.
Oh, okay.
But still, it's different, but it was really cool. And the match gets to this is awesome chant. And it's just nice back and forth stuff. Patrick Velveteen Dream is trying all this new stuff.
Yeah.
And he's really getting over. He goes for his elbow drop, but he showboats. He does the Rick Rude thing on top, on the top rope. Uh-huh. And then, no, he eats it. He gets tied up in the ropes and gets beat up. And then we get the Black Mass out of nowhere, and Aleister wins. But then, okay, after the match, Aleister Black, because we all knew Aleister Black's has to win. I mean, he's either getting an NXT title, or he's going to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal and show up on Raw or whatever. He's destined for that kind of thing, unless if he can stay out of trouble and not get injured.
Right.
So he's definitely on a path to something special. And, of course, Velveteen Dream's the heel. He does not need the win.
Right.
But the best part is, after the match, Aleister Black sits down and does his meditation pose, and Velveteen Dream's like crawling around trying to get up. He's almost dead. And then Black just grabs the mic, and you think, oh my God, is he going to say his name?
Right.
Is he going to say it? And he tells him to enjoy his infamy. He says, Velveteen Dream. Yep. He says it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
He acknowledged Velveteen Dream in a way that says, okay, you put on a really good match. Mm-hmm. I can respect you. We're moving on now.
Yeah.
This was great. Really well done.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot.
What a story.
Yeah.
What a story. It had a beginning, it had a middle, and it had an end.
And the middle, they took it to a point a few weeks back where I was a little afraid that they were going to get very gacial slurry with it.
And they went the other way with it.
And they didn't. I don't know if they course corrected or if it was never in the cards to do that, but they took it right to that comfort zone and, or, you know, to the edge of the comfort zone. And then they just made it amazing.
Yeah. It was quite well done. And the match itself, that's a match that can make your career, like for Velveteen Dream, where he's like a gimmicky character, but this shows that he can wrestle and, you know, everything about it seemed like he was a real wrestler.
Yes, absolutely.
Like I always say, there's so many people that are just dressing up and it's just cosplay and they're playing a role. Mm-hmm. And I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. But with Velveteen Dream, it's like, okay, I was buying the role. I bought the match. Mm-hmm. I bought the story. I was sold by the end. So that's that's what you need to do. So when they bring him up to Raw, they will destroy him in one night.
That's not what
they do with NXT people.
I know.
No, I hope not. Backstage, William Regal talks to Sanity this time and tells them the rules or something. I don't know. I want to believe that the reason Regal's back there doing all these things is because the rules are just so long. He has to re-explain them to make sure they didn't forget.
Yeah.
Now we see in the crowd, it's Team Japan. It's Finn Balor, Asuka, and Funaki in the crowd all together there.
Cool.
Talking about stuff from Japan. NXT women's title match is next. It's the vacant title. If you remember, Asuka gave away the title and said, see ya, I'm going to Raw.
Yeah.
Nobody can beat me. So that's it. So now we have this vacant title. And Kairi Sane, of course, won the Mae Young Classic, which gave her a bye in the fight to get to this match. So she was able to be in this match first. And then they had other elimination style, or what's that called? Triple qualifying threats and stuff. And then a battle royal qualifying matches to see who else would be in the match with her. So it's a fatal four way. The winner gets the vacant NXT women's title. It's Nikki Cross from Sanity versus Kairi Sane, the pirate face with new music.
Okay.
So that's going to be weird if she doesn't win because they gave her new music versus Peyton Royce versus Ember Moon. And this is weird because Billie Kay gives advice to Peyton Royce and then leaves. And then there was a video on .com of them like almost kissing. They were hugging and they had their faces together and they didn't like Peyton didn't want Billie to leave her. It was just this really like, right up to the line kind of thing where they're not saying it.
Right.
But you can see what's implied. You can see what's happening here. But it was very strange the way Billie Kay didn't come out with Peyton Royce. It was like one of two things was going to happen. In my opinion, I thought, oh, it's because Peyton's winning the title and she wanted to do it on her own.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, does that mean that Billie Kay's tricking everyone and she's going to come out at the end and help her win? But none of that happened.
Right.
So the match itself is great. I can't get into all the spots because there's so many good ones, but they do all kinds of moves. Everybody gets their finisher in, and I think everybody does. Then everybody, you know, someone else will break it up. There's so many near falls. And then in the end, it's a double eclipse, and Ember Moon finally wins the women's title.
Yeah.
Now, Asuka come, now I didn't really like that. I like all four of these people, and I thought this was a great match. Mm-hmm. But I thought that's the weakest possible finish is that Ember Moon wins. And I'll tell you why in a second. Because Asuka comes into the ring, and Regal's trying to give the title to Ember Moon. And Asuka's like, no, I want to give it to her. And she grabs the title from Regal and then hands it to Ember Moon. And it's a nice moment, mm-hmm. but it's also sad because it's almost like, ha ha ha, you couldn't beat me, yeah. but here you go. The only reason you have this is because I vacated it.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
And it put the focus on Asuka that shouldn't have been there.
It did. I would have much rather had a heel win it and then have Ember Moon beat that heel. But I have a feeling the next time somebody beats a heel, it's going to be Kairi Sane. So I don't know. I'm not sure if I enjoyed that finish. Although, you know, it's okay that Ember won. But it just reminds me that she couldn't win it in a normal way. And she had to go this long, long route to get it. And then she beat, you know, she pinned Nikki Cross from Sanity.
Right.
Big deal. That's my problem. So, okay. Still great match.
Yeah, I was okay with it. I'm interested in seeing how she is as a champ. She's not good on the mic.
No.
And she has very weird facial expressions when she's not talking.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that those things develop over time.
I don't know how this works. I have a sad feeling that her first feud is going to be against stupid Sonya Deville, the MMA person.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want that.
No.
No. I hope I'm wrong. We get a commercial for TakeOver Philadelphia. It's the Royal Rumble weekend. So, oh my God, already?
Yep.
But yeah, it's like we're going on almost December now and Royal Rumble's in January. So stop going by so fast.
Yeah.
Give me a break here. Just give me a minute.
Just a little bit.
Let me enjoy the Thanksgiving wrestling shows and then let me enjoy December and then I'll get to the Royal Rumble when I, you know, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Now, at the announce table, Mauro sells toys. He's playing with the shark cage thing and whatever that new toy is with like that looks like it's an Ultimate X match, but it's not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Backstage, Roderick Strong and the Authors of Pain are a team. Sure did seem like this was going to be some kind of double cross, but
yeah,
I assume that's coming up at the next NXT tapings, not this. So, which I think those are happening tomorrow, in like 2 or 3 days. So, excuse me. In the crowd, Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe are there. And the NXT title match is next. So the War Games is going to go on last. And okay. I kind of expected it because it's hard. Once you see all that War Games and weapons and everything, do you really then want to see a regular match with Drew McIntyre in it?
Yeah.
Not really. But I think they picked the right order tonight. The matches for the NXT title, Andrade Cien Almas with Zelina Vega versus the champion Drew McIntyre. And the crowd does not love Drew. They're not really cheering him too much here.
Right.
They seem to like Cien more.
Yeah, well, it's because they've seen Drew wrestle and they've heard him talk. And they're okay. Not expecting now, things to be any
to be
different.
Fair, Drew's wrestling was never the problem. It was everything about his character, him on the
very
mic.
Boring.
He's dull. But this match is fantastic.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It might be the best match I've ever seen Drew McIntyre wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite possible because I like this better than his Bobby Roode match. I don't know. But we get Almas doing the Tranquilo again.
Yeah,
he's doing
ropes,
lots of the Ingubitably stuff. Zelina tries to cheat. And then it backfires and she gets thrown around by Drew back on the apron. It's another great match. I mean, both guys look really good by the end. Almas grabs the title so that Vega can do a spike hurricanrana to Drew. And she smashes Drew's face into the mat. And then, oh, look, it's a DDT, but no, Drew kicks out. But then out of nowhere, Claymore. And you think, oh my God, no, Drew, 1, 2, no. Vega grabs almost his foot and puts it on the bottom rope. And then Drew tries for, I guess, another Claymore or some kind of big boot. And he gets hung up on the top rope. So Andrade picks him up and just hangs him off the top rope and DDTs him to the mat. And really spikes him. And if you can believe it, Andrade Cien Almas is the new NXT champion.
I did not see that coming.
I didn't either. And wow, the crowd's behind him, and he is super excited to be champion, and he's mm-hmm. jumping all around like he's a face, but he's not.
No. It was great.
So Drew's in the ring.
It was great, and it makes me want to see Zelina Vega wrestle.
Yeah. I mean, she was decent before, but here's the thing. This was weird because, yes, he's celebrating. He goes on the announce table. He stands up in front of Mauro and, he's holding up the title. He's so excited. But poor Drew is in the ring, and he's sitting there like he looks really mad and like defeated.
Right.
Yeah, he tore his bicep or something.
And that's a Tanahashi tear.
He has an arm problem. Yeah, so.
Oof. That's unfortunate.
Yep. So that's kind of sad, but I'm glad to see a new champion that I actually like.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that it's not true.
I hope Naito wins at Wrestle Kingdom.
That's what I said. I would love to see an all Ingobernables champion festival.
That'd be great.
Where every member has a title.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. But now, the real main event, I guess, it's the War Games. And the cage makes its music. What is it, normal music for a cage? Like, how's it go?
That's like when a truck backs up. I have no idea.
No, it goes like, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Oh, yeah. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. This one is, this War Games has air raid sirens as the music.
Do you want me to read the official rules?
Oh, my God. Okay, in a minute. In the crowd, Dustin Rhodes is there with Arn Anderson. And they're talking. They're doing stuff. They're not talking. Okay, go ahead. You can read the rules. These are so convoluted and messed up.
These are the official rules. I had to take a picture of them because I couldn't possibly read all of it while the show was going on.
No.
They didn't leave it on the screen for an hour.
Normally, every week on NXT, they haven't been saying the rules. They've been going, go to WWE.com for all the official rules.
Yep.
It's like the legalese in a lottery type thing or in a
must be present to win
contest. Yeah.
What? Match begins with all three teams inside separate shark cages with one member. With one member from each team starting the match.
Oh, my God.
Okay. After 5 minutes, the remaining two members from one team will be released to enter the match.
So, not one at a time. They come in there two at a time.
Yep. Okay. After a three-minute period, the remaining two members from a second team will enter the match. Following another three-minute period, final team's members are released to enter the match.
Oh, my God.
A victory via pinfall or submission can only be attained once all three teams have entered War Games.
Okay.
Escape the cage, you forfeit the match for your team.
Okay, so you can't leave.
Right.
You know what? It's funny because that sounds really convoluted, but when it comes down to it, when you do that where just you're waiting for the rest of the team to come out of the penalty box or whatever it is, it's actually much better because otherwise you have to wait for six separate rounds, which takes forever. And this is the kind of match that you don't want it to take forever before you get to the point.
Right.
So I'll tell you what, as convoluted as that was, I thought this match was booked kind of perfectly.
Yeah, it was great.
So the main event is called War Games, and here's the participants. It's on one side, Sanity, which is who? Killian Dane, Eric Young, and Alexander Wolf. Mm-hmm. Is that his name? Versus Undisputed Era. That's Fish, O'Reilly, and Cole. Versus, oh, look, Swamp Monster Roderick Strong and Authors of Pain.
Yeah.
Authors, you know how they come out at the pay-per-views with like a big, like swampy war net over the top of their heads. Like they would be like hiding in a swamp, like camouflage kind of thing.
Yeah, like all authors
like Jungle
do.
Strike, like they do that all the time. Well, Roderick Strong's wearing that outfit, which to me was like, oh, that means that he's going to turn on them. But that never happens. So, again, I'm assuming that Roderick Strong's turning at the NXT tapings days. But the match is going to start with, oh my God, the three leaders. If you can believe that, they're not going to make you wait in this one. Normally, you're waiting for like the guy you really want to tag in.
Right.
Instead, it's your favorites or the leaders are in the ring and you want them to get help. So that's actually an interesting concept. And again, I thought it was booked right. So it's going to start with Eric Young versus Adam Cole versus Roderick Strong to start the match. And all the other six guys are in shark cages. You know, each team is in a separate cage. So, of course, the story is that Young and Strong team up on Adam Cole because Adam Cole's a jerk. And yes. So they beat him up. But after 5 minutes, the cage opens and it goes, and it's Undisputed Era. So it's kind of like the Elimination Chamber, yeah. Like that. Or a little bit like the Royal Rumble without the shark cages, or with the shark cages, I should say. So now it makes sense because the two heels come in and now it's 3-on-2. So Undisputed Era gets the early advantage, which is how Lethal Lockdown and all the War Games matches work, because you want to see the faces succeed. So, but then there's fight, and the next team is Authors of Pain, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, expect them to be last.
Wouldn't you expect Roderick Strong to be the one that's beat up the most, and then he gets saved at the end?
Mm-hmm. If it's his story.
Yeah, but last team in Sanity, but now the War Games can begin. So this is really good. So very smart Sanity guy here. I think it's Killian. Mm-hmm. He brings in a nightstick, and no, the other guy does. And then Killian's just outside the ring throwing in a bunch of weapons and chairs and garbage cans and everything. The crowd chants, "We want tables," so because he hasn't entered yet, he can still keep throwing items in until he enters. So yeah, Killian Dane grabs tables, he brings them in the ring. Then it's pretty funny, this is a good visual, he locks the door and swallows the key. So when was the last time you heard like swallow the key other than like a cartoon?
I don't know, but I waited for the next 10 minutes or so for him to find a quiet corner of the ring to poop in.
Imagine if that was the only way out, he had to poop out the key. This match was, again, way better than it had any right to be. I thought it's just going to be, I've seen so many Lethal Lockdown matches, I thought it's just going to be a disaster.
Right.
No, it was actually really fun. Everybody works really hard on this whole show tonight, not just this match.
Right.
But everybody's working.
Except for the sound guy in the beginning.
Except for the sound guy with the kaboom thing. There's so many insane spots, like 8-man Tower Doom, and Killian Dane grabs a trash can and does coast to coast. Killian Dane.
He was impressive.
He's in this huge match. And he springboards off the top rope. Yeah, everybody looked good in this match. I couldn't believe it. Roderick Strong. Oh my God. Adam Cole goes to the top of the cage to hide. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he's going to try and do something off the top. So Roderick Strong runs up there and he superplexes Adam Cole off the top of the cage into the ring onto almost everybody.
Yeah.
Except one person, and that's poor Alexander Wolf, who earlier in the night had done a superplex to, I don't remember who, it might have been to one of the Authors.
Right.
Through a table, and the problem was he went, his head got caught on the edge of the table.
Right.
And he bled so much that one of the tables laying in the ring there's a pool of blood on it. Yeah. And then he's bloody for the rest of the match. So he can't be involved in that spot with the, you know, catching everybody because he's too dead.
Yeah.
Like the doctor's with him at that point. It's really sad. So I hope he's okay. But the finish of the match is that Eric Young versus Adam Cole. And Adam Cole's trying to do a Shining Wizard or a knee or whatever he does. And Eric Young picks up a chair to try and fight. And then he's like, I'm not going to be able to swing it, so at least I'll use it as a shield. And he ends up eating it right in the face.
Yeah.
So Adam Cole wins, and the Undisputed Era win. And there was no, like, shenanigans or shortcuts. It was just like, let's kill each other until somebody wins.
The right team won.
Yeah. But not because of, like, shenanigans, like Roger trying to help them. They just won.
Yeah.
They were the better team, even though everyone looked good in this match.
Yeah, there was no weak link in this match.
Not at all. So, what a show.
Yeah, it was very, very good.
Takeover. Yeah. Always making the WWE roster think they have to step it up the next day at the pay-per-view, which is always good for us.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah, very impressive stuff for Takeover. But I don't know, like the stars of the show might have been like Patrick, Velveteen Dream and Killian Dane. Like and Andrade Almas. Like,
yeah.
Really?
It was Bizarro World. Yeah. Huh.
NXT looking much better than it did like a month ago.
Yeah. Cause it was kind of like holding pattern. The stories weren't.
It didn't make any sense because Undisputed Era was just running around beating people up.
Well, they knew we were going to be reviewing them more frequently.
Is that what it is?
So they decided to, you know,
put forth
their best effort.
I hope so. Because now I'm looking forward to the next set of tapings so we can see like what's coming up in the future. Because I really don't know. I'm assuming that Royal Rumble weekend, I mean, do you do... Okay, say Drew's injured out, then who does Cien go against? Because he wouldn't go against the heel from the Adam Cole babies kids. So the sad thing is, either he goes against Roderick Strong, which does anyone want that again? No. I mean, Roderick Strong going for a title.
What about Aleister Black, though?
That's the thing. If he goes against Black, then Black has to win.
Yeah.
So, and could Black win that at the Royal Rumble weekend? Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. Does he need to? No. I could see Black in the Royal Rumble.
Yes, like, me too.
I could see him winning the NXT title on Saturday night and then being in the Rumble on Sunday.
I could see him winning the Rumble.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do with that.
Yeah.
So, but it should be interesting.
Are they going to have 40 people in the Rumble again this year to account for the cruiserweights?
No, they're just not going to let the cruiserweights in the match.
They should have a mini Rumble, like a pre-show mini Rumble.
That'd be pretty funny.
For nothing.
No, it's going to be just 30 people, and I don't know, they'll probably just release some more guys.
Yeah.
Oh, well. What can you do? But that's it. That's your takeover. I hope everyone enjoyed that show.
If they didn't, they didn't want to.
Who are these people that they have the network and they don't even watch the takeovers?
You're throwing away money. You might as well become a patron.
Like, you should end up liking wrestling by watching Takeover.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they only listen to the shows and they're like, I don't watch wrestling anymore.
I mean,
this is one of those where you should probably watch it.
I can foresee a fan who watches Takeover but not the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like just Takeover and maybe New Japan.
Yeah, it's true.
And Lucha when it comes back, and then you're good.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of product, a lot of competition out there. So.
Yep, it's true. So, oh my God, there's another, what's it called tonight?
New Japan clip show.
Yeah, so we got our work cut out for us, that and Survivor Series, and then, like you said, Raw and SmackDown, the main show coming up. Oh, my God. Okay, so we got to go do a lot of work and enjoy a lot of wrestling. So we hope you did, too. We thank you so much. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at SWF Podcast, SWF After Dark. And that's it for today. So thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Until next time, good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.